Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Cardiovascular health. Cutting costs shouldn't cost your health, your heart health. As prices are in flux at the grocery store and elsewhere, Baylor College of Medicine cardiologists say not to let the threat of inflation lead you to make choices that could impact your heart health. Quote, this is a high-stress time for some. Stress and the unhealthy lifestyle choices that usually go along with it, coupled with the health effects the COVID-19 pandemic created over the past few years, could increase the risk for cardiovascular disease, end quote, said Dr. Christy Ballantyne, professor-in-chief of cardiovascular research at Baylor. Quote, it is not a good idea to cut out a doctor's visit or medication to try to save money, end quote. COVID-19, stress, and your heart. Quote, studies over the past few years have found an increase in cardiovascular-related deaths. There are many factors that lead to poor cardiovascular health. However, COVID-19 and the shutdowns associated with the pandemic are believed to have played a role, end quote, Ballantyne said. When the shutdowns began in early 2020, many people could not schedule regular in-person checkups or follow up appointments with their doctors. Many defer their treatment out of fear of contracting COVID-19. Since COVID-19 is more severe in people with other health issues, those already with cardiovascular disease were more likely to have more severe outcomes. All this led to a decline in overall heart health. In addition, the stress for many during that time, whether it was from fear of illness or job loss, along with quarantine and work from home, caused many to choose unhealthy activities. That included reaching for unhealthy comfort foods leading to weight gain, more alcohol consumption and or smoking, less movement, and lack of exercise, all of which, including high stress levels, increase the risk for cardiovascular disease. The price of health, while availability of appointments and fear of contracting COVID-19, are not as big of issues as they were earlier in the pandemic, other concerns have arisen, like inflation. Paying for doctor visits or prescription refills might be difficult for some, as high prices elsewhere are hitting pocketbooks. However, Ballantyne says that rather than assuming you can't afford health care, talk to your provider and see what payment options can be worked out and whether less expensive medications are available. For costly prescriptions, there could be a generic alternative or a combination of drugs that is offered at a lower cost. Another option might be getting a prescription for pills of twice the needed dosage and then cutting each pill in half to prolong the prescription. Quote, these tips won't work for everybody, so it is important to always seek a doctor's advice. You won't know about what can be done to help until you ask, end quote, Ballantyne said. Quote, the most important thing right now is to see your doctor and communicate all your concerns, and that includes cost concerns, end quote. What can I do? There is always the option to increase healthy activity to help support the treatment plan you and your doctor decide on. Healthy lifestyle choices include exercising or moving more throughout the day, eating more fruits, vegetables, and lean meats, stopping smoking or vaping, developing tools and techniques for stress reduction instead of turning down healthy foods or habits, and learning about your family health history to share with your doctor to better assess your risk for cardiovascular disease. Community. Free support groups available. Midland Health is offering a free support group for all community members who are interested in learning about diabetic and cardiovascular health. COACH, Community Outreach in Cardiovascular Health. A group of people with cardiovascular disease sharing common experiences or concerns who provide each other with encouragement, comfort, and advice. CODE, Community Outreach for Diabetes Education. A group of people with diabetes sharing common experiences or concerns who provide each other with encouragement, comfort, and advice. This free community support group will meet at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue, and will be held every second Monday of every month throughout the school year from 6 to 7 p.m. For more information, please contact morgan.tennis@midlandhealth.org or hillary.alanes@midlandhealth.org. Midland Health welcomes Omni Legend Scanner. Midland Health officials recently held a ribbon cutting to celebrate the arrival of the first all-digital Omni Legend PET/CT scanner in the United States. This scanner is used to stage and restage a variety of cancers as well as diagnose diseases like Alzheimer's disease. Omni Legend is the most advanced PET/CT available, and now Diagnostic Imaging Associates has one of the first few in the entire world, according to Midland Health. The state-of-the-art architecture of OmniLegend provides crystal-clear images with the earliest possible disease detection. Early detection can catch disease before it spreads in the body, allowing doctors to begin treatment sooner. Mayo Clinic Minute. Our relationship between food and disease. The phrase, quote, "you are what you eat," end quote, is commonly used in conversations about health and the connection between food and the body. Eating an unhealthy diet can have serious consequences and can increase someone's risk of dying from heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. In this Mayo Clinic Minute, Dr. Stephen Kopecky, a preventative cardiologist at Mayo Clinic, discusses the relationship between food and disease. Things like smoking and genetics put us at risk for developing different diseases, but neither are the biggest risk factor. Quote, "nutrition is now the number one cause of early death and early disease in our country and the world," end quote, says Dr. Kopecky. Dr. Kopecky says having genes for disease will increase your risk by 30% to 40%, but having a bad lifestyle for disease will increase your risk by 300% to 400%. Quote, "about 57% of the calories we consume every day in this country are ultra-processed foods," end quote, says Dr. Kopecky. While ultra-processed foods tend to be convenient and cost-effective, they are inflammatory and can cause a host of health issues over time. Quote, "it bothers our tissues, it bothers our heart, it bothers our arteries, our brains, our pancreas, our liver, and our lungs. And that leads to disease," end quote, says Dr. Kopecky. Quote, "it could be in the brain with Alzheimer's, the heart with coronary artery disease, or cancers elsewhere," end quote. The good news is it's never too late to change your eating habits, and no change is too small. Quote, "it's been shown if you take one bite of, say, a processed meat or ultra-processed food, replace that with some unprocessed food or a healthier choice, you know, vegetables and black beans, after a year or two, that will actually lower your risk of heart attack and stroke," end quote. Of the four levels of food processing, the most processed are termed ultra-processed foods. These foods have many added ingredients such as sugar, salt, fat, and artificial colors, preservatives, or stabilizers. The ingredient list sometimes has words that sound like chemicals. Examples are obvious foods like soft drinks, hot dogs, cold cuts, fast food, packaged snacks, and cookies, but can also include canned baked beans, low-fat fruit yogurt, packaged bread, ready-made pasta sauces, and breakfast cereals. Mayo Clinic Q&A. Turmeric for healthier diet, pain relief. Dear Mayo Clinic, I'm a breast cancer survivor who still suffers from various aches and pains, including arthritis. A friend told me that her arthritis pain improved after she started taking turmeric. I'm committed to making this new year a healthier one, and I want to improve my overall health and diet. Can you tell me more about this supplement? Is it something I can add into my diet to feel better? Answer. Turmeric is becoming a common spice in many home pantries, especially since people are hearing of its many purported health effects, including reducing inflammation. Turmeric, which is a plant related to ginger, is grown in many Asian countries, as well as other tropical areas. It's a major ingredient in curry powders, common in many Indian and Asian dishes, and is often used as a coloring for foods, fabrics, and cosmetics. The underground portions of the plant can be dried and made into capsules, tablets, extracts, powders, or teas, or they may be made into a paste to apply to the skin. Turmeric's main active component, curcumin, is what gives the spice its yellow color. Curcumin has anti-inflammatory properties, making it a potential treatment for a number of health conditions, including pain, asthma, and increased movement in people with osteoarthritis. Other research suggests that curcumin may reduce cholesterol and triglyceride levels. In addition, it may lessen some of the symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis, such as joint swelling and morning stiffness. Other areas of investigation include curcumin's effect on Crohn's disease, certain cancers, depression, diabetes, joint pain, and irritable bowel syndrome. There are various studies looking at the effects of turmeric, including several that showed turmeric to be just as effective as ibuprofen for reducing inflammation, swelling, and pain. However, more research is necessary to confirm these effects. Although there are supplements available, the data is not conclusive and supplements are not regulated. Additionally, like many plants, it is not just one component that may have beneficial effect. Non-curcumin compounds such as turmerin, turmerone, elmine, furanodine, curdione, bisocurone, cyclocurcumin, Caliban A and germacrone also have been shown in animals to possess anti-inflammatory properties. When taken by mouth or applied to the skin, turmeric and the curcumin it contains appears to be generally safe when limited to less than 8 grams a day. That said, different amounts often are recommended depending on the health condition being addressed, and higher doses have been used for limited periods of time. High doses or long-term use may cause gastrointestinal upset for some people, even damage to the liver. Turmeric or curcumin may be a complementary therapy that is valuable for you. I would recommend that you discuss with your medical team using it as a complement to mainstream medical treatment. You also should talk to your healthcare team about turmeric if you take an anti-clotting medication or at any point require additional chemotherapy, as the supplement may interact with your medication.
Hello, this is Michael, and I'm reading articles from the Energy page, published in the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Friday, February 10th. Biden's oil comments spark energy production debate, by Matthew Daly, Associated Press, Washington. President Joe Biden sparked a firestorm in energy circles when he said in Tuesday's State of the Nation address that the United States will need oil for at least another decade. Republicans in the House chamber laughed in derision at Biden's off-the-cuff remark, which was not in his scripted speech. GOP lawmakers accused the Democratic president of refusing to accept reality and living in a green hallucination, as Montana Senator Steve Daines put it. President Biden implied tonight America would not produce oil beyond the next decade. If you believe that, you have missed a lot and live in a dream world. God help America, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican South Carolina, said in a tweet. But environmentalists and some Democrats supported Biden, saying the U.S. needs a plan to wean itself off oil and other fossil fuels. The sooner the better. I think the president is right, said Colin Reese, a senior campaigner for the green group Oil Change International. We can't continue to pretend we're reducing greenhouse gas emissions without addressing oil production, and that means phasing out fossil fuels. If we're going to save our future, we need a transition away from dirty, expensive, and deadly fossil fuels, and we need to be speeding up, not slowing down, added Senator Ed Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts. Biden made the comment as he touted a landmark law to slow climate change. The law he signed last year, supported only by Democrats, authorizes hundreds of billions of dollars to boost renewable energy, such as wind and solar power, and help consumers buy electric vehicles and energy-efficient appliances. The law is a key part of Biden's ambitious bid to cut planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030 and achieve net zero emissions by 2050. Most experts say the net zero goal is unlikely to be fully achieved, even under the most optimistic scenarios. Phasing out oil within a decade is virtually impossible, said energy analyst Kevin Book. I think the White House may want to workshop the ad-libs before Biden speaks, Book joked Wednesday, adding that no serious analyst believes oil can be completely phased out in a matter of years. We rely on oil and gas for 85% to 90% of transportation energy, he said. Electric vehicles, while growing in popularity, represent less than 6% of new U.S. car sales. Even the U.S. government agrees that oil and gas will likely be needed for decades to come. The Energy Information Administration, a statistical and research arm of the Energy Department, projects that U.S. energy consumption will increase over the next 30 years as population and economic growth outpace energy efficiency gains. Petroleum and natural gas are likely to remain the nation's largest energy sources through 2050, the EIA said in a report last year, even as renewable energy, such as wind and solar power, are the fastest growing. The White House said Biden's comments were in line with statements he and other administration officials have made previously, namely that the U.S. is in the midst of an energy transition and will continue to need oil. Let's be very clear that fossil fuels will remain in the mix of the energy system of the globe for years to come, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said in a 2022 remark cited by the White House. Ironically, Biden's comment came as he tried to reassure critics that he recognizes the need for continued oil production. We're still going to need oil and gas for a while, Biden said, before adding the 10-year time frame in a later ad-libbed remark. After GOP lawmakers laughed, Biden quickly responded, "And beyond that, we're going to need it." Biden's message to the oil industry, "Stay in business, we need you today," was the right one, but his units were off, Book said. He was giving a 10-year life expectancy to a 50-year asset. Mike Summers, president of the American Petroleum Institute, said Biden could have used his State of the Union address to unite America. Instead, he has again criticized American businesses that employ millions of Americans, pay taxes, and provide energy for the world. U.S. oil and natural gas producers, transporters, and refiners deserve better. Ben Jealous, executive director of the Sierra Club, said expanding oil and gas production and extending the lifespan of fossil fuel infrastructure, such as refineries, would only exacerbate the climate crisis, while further padding the profits of the very same companies President Biden rightfully derided in the State of the Union. "What we need is doubling down on our investments and equitably transition off of the fuels of the past and to clean energy," Jealous said. Shell's board sued over lack of climate ambition by Catherine Gimmel and William Mathis, Bloomberg. Shell PLC faces a new front in climate litigation as lawyers, supported by a group of shareholders, sue the oil giant's board in the UK. 2 years after a Dutch court ordered Shell to slash its emissions, Client Earth are filing the first lawsuit of its kind anywhere in the world against 11 members of the board, accusing them of failing to manage the company's climate risks. The environmental law firm bringing the suit under the UK's Company Act against Shell's board at London's High Court, arguing that their failure to approve an energy transition strategy that aligns with the Paris Agreement amounts to a breach of a director's legal duties. "The board is persisting with a transition strategy that is fundamentally flawed, leaving the company seriously exposed to the risks that climate change poses to Shell's future success, despite the board's legal duty to manage those risks," said Paul Benson, a senior lawyer at Client Earth. "The Paris Agreement was adopted in 2015 with the goal of slowing global warming to well below 2°C compared to pre-industrial levels. With record temperatures across much of the planet in 2022 and a series of catastrophic weather events, the severe effects of climate change are already being felt. We do not accept Client Earth's allegations," a Shell spokesperson said. "Our directors have complied with their legal duties and have at all times acted in the best interests of the company." Fresh strategy. Trying to hold board members legally accountable for their company's contributions to climate change marks a fresh strategy as lawyers and campaigners increasingly turn to the courts to try and pin some of the blame for the climate crisis on big oil. In the Netherlands, at least, activists have had success. Shell was ordered in 2021 by a court in The Hague to slash its greenhouse gas emissions 45% by 2030 compared to 2019 levels. It's appealing the ruling, as the court's order is an acceleration of an existing strategy. There are aspects of it that are just not feasible, Shell argues. Shell's goal is to become a net zero emission energy company by 2050, the company said. Appealing does not change this. Shell already has plans to halve emissions from its own business and the energy it purchases by 2030 compared to 2016 levels. But those represent less than 10% of its overall carbon footprint, with most planet-warming gases emitted when its customers burn the fuel they buy from Shell. While the company also has a goal of reaching net zero emissions across all its businesses by 2050, there's not yet a clear plan how to do it. It was the oil and gas business that drove record-breaking profits of nearly $40 billion last year. And while Shell's investment in its renewables unit hit an all-time high in 2022, it was less than half what the company spent on its business exploring for and extracting fossil fuels. Renewables pause. While Salmon, who took over as Shell's chief executive officer in January, said he plans to grow the company's natural gas business, while Shell pauses growth in spending on its renewables unit, the CEO is focused on delivering value for shareholders. Our philosophy has been a real pivot toward energy transition investments, Sawan said in a call with reporters on February 2nd. But we will make sure that those investments go into the areas where we can see line of sight toward attractive returns to be able to reward our shareholders. The lawsuit, which also alleges the directors failed to comply with the Hague ruling, is being supported by institutional investors, including pension fund manager London LGPS CIV Limited, Nest, Swedish pension fund AP3, and Danske Bank Asset Management. Together, they hold over 12 million shares in the company, still less than 0.2% of the total. Oil halts 3-day advance as caution counters the China bulls, by Emmanuel John Milton, Natalina Kirchevic, and Julia Fanzares, Bloomberg. Oil backtracked after its best 3-day stretch since December as headwinds from recession risks in the U.S. and Europe tempered optimism over China's emergence from COVID-zero policies. The push-pull has been ongoing since the start of the year, leaving the commodity having trouble breaking out of its range, said Rebecca Babin, a senior energy trader at CIBC Private Wealth. Positioning looks set up long, so data will be the driver of moves to the upside. Prices have swung in a $10 range since the start of 2023, with investors uncertain about the state of the U.S. economy and the extent of China's rebound. Major banks have said they expect a Chinese recovery to drive prices to $100 again, but not until the second half of this year. Better than expected flows out of Russia, despite multiple energy export bans and a relatively mild winter in the Northern Hemisphere, are keeping a lid on prices amid an uncertain economic backdrop in the U.S. and Europe.
I'm continuing to read Odessa American. This is To Your Health with Dr. Roach. Falls ill but ex-spouse chooses to stay. Dear Dr. Roach, my ex-wife and I are both 72 and have known each other for about 15 years. Soon after filing for divorce in 2019, she became very ill with an ulcer, followed by lung cancer and the onset of dementia. Then recently the cancer came back in the other lung. People tell me I'm consumed with her health and well-being. I pay what falls short from Medicaid and Medicare so that she can live in a nice assisted living home. I saw her every day in the hospital for 3 months and often cry when she is in discomfort. My question is, can I be taking this too far? I just feel that it's the right thing to do. My mom had a history of helping the ill when I was very young. Am I okay? Answer: I think you are far more than okay. I think you are being very generous. If you have the time, the financial resources, and the patience to help a woman in dire need, then I honor you for your dedication. I only hope you aren't neglecting your own needs or the needs of anyone else who may depend upon you. I often see caregivers neglect their own needs. They may not have time to go to the doctor for themselves, exercise, eat well, or even get an afternoon off. Furthermore, caregivers are at high risk when the person they have been taking care of gets worse or passes on. I advise people to get help when they can. Hiring a professional to help take care of your ex-wife can give you much-needed time. Many of my patients or their caregivers can't afford that, but they may be able to find another family member, friend, or neighbor for a period of time so that others can get some of what they need for their own life and physical and mental health. To Your Good Health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, I had pretty much an ideal childhood. My parents have never had issues that I ever saw. We went to church every Sunday, gathered with family often, etc. I'm now grown and my parents are in their mid-80s. Out of the blue, I got a message on social media from a woman who says she's my father's daughter from when he was 17 years old, before he met my mom. She found out through DNA testing. She's very nice about whether I tell my parents about her. Their health is beginning to deteriorate, and I don't want to stress them more than they can handle. At the same time, I don't know if it is right for me to withhold this information from my dad. I feel so alone in making this choice, so please give me any advice. Secret Holder in Georgia. Dear Secret Holder, your father may be unaware that he fathered a child at 17. Back then, an out-of-wedlock pregnancy was sometimes kept secret and the baby placed for adoption. He should be given the information privately so he can decide if he would like to meet his daughter and whether, at this late date, your mother needs to know. Dear Abby, my fiancé and I began dating 2.5 years ago. We are in our late 50s. We moved in together 4 months ago and took out an equity loan for improvements on the house. Until we moved in, we were planning our future together, traveling and having fun. Once we moved in, however, everything changed. 2 months later, she came to me saying, "Something is not right." She says she loves me, she's attracted to me, and doesn't want me to leave. She says I treat her like she's never been treated before, and I'm so good to her, her words, but I feel like I have been put into this friend zone. This usually happens after a couple of dates, not years. It's tearing her up because she doesn't want to feel this way, and it has me stumped about how to handle it. Is it cold feet? Bad change in New York. Dear Bad Change, I don't know, you don't know, and it is possible that she can't identify what's wrong either. Do not procrastinate. Get a referral to a licensed marriage and family therapist for premarital counseling. If the two of you do this, whatever is bothering her will be revealed. If she refuses to go, seek counseling without her. I hope there is no prepayment penalty on that loan. Dear Abby, I am a friendly person who can get along with most everyone. I am petite in height, 4'8" to be exact. Recently, while my husband and I were at a social gathering, one of the male guests approached me and commented, "Who let a child in here?" I was not only hurt, but also offended at his rudeness. My husband is much taller than I am, and he has never mistaken me for a child. I'm tired of being judged for my height. Any thoughts? Tiny, but a true adult. Dear Tiny, was the guest who said it drunk? I can't otherwise account for his egregious breach of etiquette in making a comment about the appearance of another guest at a gathering. I hope you ignore his tasteless comment. What a nitwit.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.